Today is Monday, March 7th. Rundown, quick shout out, still doing the championship t-shirt. I'll wear every one, like I said. This is Watertown High School in South Dakota, co-ed volleyball champions. So thank you, Jess, for the t-shirt. I'll wear it proudly. South Dakota.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
No, I have a
South Dakota.
Listen, I got a whole bunch here that I got to go through. I got them all over, and I don't think people are following. Like, this is Brookville, Ohio softball. It's just like a softball league. Brandeis, Georgetown. I got a lot, so we're in good shape. But I'm keep them coming. I like champions.
I'm pumped that people are reading us in South Dakota. That's a shocker.
Yep. No, and keep them coming. I'm all about championships. Let's start with Peyton Manning retiring. That's obviously it's big news, but it's not. It's big news, but it's not. He's had a great career, no doubt. He just did his press conference. ESPN definitely cut out when he was asking about the teabagging thing, whether they did it on purpose. With ESPN, nothing surprises me. Also had the answer, the Forrest Gump answer. I'm done talking about it, that's all I have to say about that.
Like Forrest Gump said, that's all I have to say about that.
Even though he's never actually addressed it, really. And then I put out yesterday my list of quarterbacks. I don't know if you guys saw that. A lot of people were talking about it. It was my top 10 quarterbacks. And the way I phrased it is very important. Dan, you're already making all sorts of faces.
Yeah, because I didn't understand it at all.
It's knowing their careers to this point, and you could draft them. So it's a draft. They're all in the draft. But it's basically you get them for their careers.
Okay.
So who would you draft? What?
Yeah, I was just confused whether it
was... Is that confusing?
No, well, that's better. I disagree with it, but that's better.
The two that people were getting really mad about, where I had Aaron Rodgers very high.
He is that high. He's not career-wise. If you did it just based on career, he's not in the top 10 right now.
Well, you're looking just at stats, right?
Yeah, if you're doing talent-wise, I would say he's absolutely in the top 10.
So, and people...
Aaron Rodgers is kind of the opposite of what you're talking about then.
If people are trying to do that, I look at everything. Like, I think... I mean, Montana is the one. I actually had Montana at 3, and then I read what I wrote, which is I think he had by far the most talent around him kind of his entire career. But
if you drafted right now, you would take Terry Bradshaw over Brett Favre? That makes no sense to me.
I don't think Brett Favre. I think Brett Favre was an absolute wild card. I never trusted Brett Favre. And it's harder with the older guys because obviously I didn't see Terry Bradshaw play a lot. But so I am doing, it's a combo of everything. My brain's pulling. If you tell me you won 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, I got to believe that you were unbelievable.
That's not talent. That's career. That's like career numbers. That's why it's confusing. Like,
no,
are you saying
that is talent?
Like, if you're saying just talent, I would say Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady talent wise. Tom Brady's had a better career.
No, see, I disagree. I mean, that's part of the thing. I think Tom Brady has everything when you package it up. I guess the chance. This is the question. Put it simply, if you're starting a team, who do you think you're going to win the most Super Bowls with if you're drafted?
But you also then said Joe Montana like doesn't have mobility and just threw slants. Like Tom Brady won 3 Super Bowls doing kind of what Joe Montana did.
Yeah, but then you got to look at who was around Tom Brady. And it was certainly not the Montana team.
Not really talking about that player or his career. I mean, this is where the conversation gets very convoluted because are you drafting him to the same situation?
No. He's player number one.
Right, but you're saying like you're drafting the guy and then you're discounting guys for the people around him stuff.
I don't think Joe Montana could ever have the type of game, even in the loss that Brady had versus the Broncos, where he was under intense pressure and still was delivering the football. That's my opinion. That's how I came up with it. So
I think Aaron Rodgers might have won that game.
I have Rodgers number 3. Clearly, right. I think Rodgers is very high up on that list. That's why I have him there. So clearly,
I just think you got to figure out what you're arguing because I feel like it's.
I've told you what I'm arguing.
Kind of doing it both ways.
No, because you can't just be like, well, this guy can run, or this guy has the intangibles, or this guy can move a little bit in the pocket. I look at a little of everything, and when you build this guy up, I looked at the total package. So, I mean, I get people being like, I don't agree with the list, but you can't tell me I'm doing it wrong, KFC.
I think you kind of are a little bit, because you're looking...
Well, I mean, that's specifically what I just said, though, you can't do.
It's hard to say, who do you want to start a career with, and then the argument being... while you retrospectively look at their entire career and then want to talk about who they were paired with and if they will be paired with those people again. It's like you're kind of arguing two different things.
Yeah, I think Brady is more likely to be successful regardless where he landed than Joe Montana.
Okay, that makes sense. I got you. I see what you mean.
Do you have anything on Peyton, or did I just use all the airtime for myself?
Peyton, I mean, the Forrest Gump thing was unbelievable to me. And I don't get a lot of like the Clay Travises of the world and these people who are – really, really coming to Peyton Manning's defense. Like, I don't really fucking care. I don't know why so many people seem to care. But the fact that he could just drop a pretty lame Forrest Gump line, by the way, and have the whole media, everybody just chuckle and move on in an era where the media and the fans and the public and the era of outrage where people are jumping down everyone's throat about everything you say and do, the fact that he can just get a chuckle and a move on, no follow-up question, nobody pressing him about anything – and then people saying, why would she ask about that at his retirement press conference? Well, the news pretty much just came out and resurfaced like very recently. So I just can't believe that he's that much of a likable character at this point that he gets that this much of a free pass.
I'm going to go to you, Dan, and Kevin, I'm going to come back to you, and you can think, where do you put him all-time QB list?
First of all, Peyton Manning, he is – I mean, he's in my top five for sure. I'd have to like map out my exact order. But he's for sure in my top five. He's an all-time great QB. I don't think you can discount anything that he's done in his career. But with that said, the ball washing is annoying. And like Clay Travis saying that was the greatest retirement speech of all time. Why? Because he like got choked up and he said like, oh, yeah, I remember my first game. Every retirement speech is kind of the same. Peyton Manning's great. He was nothing in the last couple of years. So great. Like, he's not the best of all time. And that's about it. So, and ESPN cutting that shit is bullshit.
KFC, where do you have him?
I would say probably three behind Brady and Montana with the rings.
Elway?
See, I would do it career wise. Like, I wouldn't have Aaron Rodgers in my top 10 because he's got to win another Super Bowl. And I'm not going to do like the midstream kind of stuff. So, if I do it career wise, it's like, for me, it's probably Brady, Montana, Manning.
That's
maybe Elway before Manning. I like that's kind of where Elway would be four for me. So three or four would switch.
But then the example, like if Rodgers wins a couple, just shoots to the fucking top.
If Rodgers if Rodgers ends up with three Super Bowls, he would be better than Brady in my opinion.
Last question on this: if you're starting, and I think Dan, you already answered it.
Yeah,
they're both coming out of college this year. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. Who would you draft?
I'd take Aaron Rodgers. I think his footwork and the way he moves and the way he keeps plays alive and his arm strength is all of it together is no one can match that.
KFC?
I agree. I think if you were to match someone like Belichick with Rodgers and the situation that Brady has in New England, Rodgers would be unstoppable.
Okay, so that's maybe I didn't explain it perfectly, but that's what I was getting. That's right. What I was getting crucified for yesterday.
Right. I
still under that analogy would take Brady first. So that's where it gets.
But because, do your quarterbacks career wise. What are their top five?
So we're taking accomplishments now.
Yeah, it's over. Like it's over. Aaron Rodgers. Pretend no.
Well, then it's got to be. I go Montana.
Okay.
Brady. Bradshaw.
See, I wouldn't put Bradshaw in the
top. But he's got four Super Bowls in 6 years.
Yeah, but he had the best defense of all time.
Right. It wasn't really because of Bradshaw the way
he's a good quarterback. He's not top five quarterback.
But it's hard. Aikman gets no respect.
Aikman
no.
doesn't get enough respect. Marino should get. I mean, Marino is another one where it's like if you're drafting a guy, Marino might be the first.
I had Marino in the top five. So yeah. I mean, all right. There was one other Peyton thing I was going to say, but I can't. Oh, the thing with the sheriff. That's like 3 months old, isn't it?
It's. I think Chris Mortensen. By the way, shout out to Chris Mortensen, who like basically he's
died working, and came back just to report this.
He's been working on getting that tweet for the last 20 years. Like he's been sucking Peyton Manning's dick for that single moment for the moment that he can break, not even that Peyton Manning's retiring, because we all knew he was, just when he was going to announce it. So congrats to Mort. Hopefully you're fighting, you know, the good fight and you're going to get healthy. But the 20 years leading up to one tweet is remarkable.
But the sheriff thing is, like, just start around the Super Bowl, right? You can't get a nickname when you retire. Like, the guy played for 18 years.
I think
you can't have your nickname come in when you retire. Yeah. That doesn't work. Everyone, I saw Feidelberg get into it. Someone says he's always been called the sheriff. No, he hasn't. He's been called the sheriff for 3 fucking months. UFC, KFC, did you watch this?
I did.
UFC, I wrote the blog on it, and I think everyone's probably in agreement here. Let me clarify. Tell me I could watch 2 equally entertaining events, UFC or boxing. I'm still picking boxing. But the fact of the matter is, the UFC, the last 3 UFC fights I bought have been like the best pay-per-view events. I don't even remember buying a boxing event like that ever. This was unbelievable.
Well, and the crazy part is it's the fights before as well. Holly Holm and Miesha Tate was the best fight of the night.
That was awesome.
By far. That was an absolutely thrilling fight. Like, I was at the edge of my seat the entire time. If Miesha Tate can get her down, like, will she choke her out? So that was even more exciting than the Diaz-McGregor fight. But I agree. UFC's been crushing it. The McGregor-Diaz fight was great to watch them. There was a moment in time where they were just letting it fly. Well, and that was probably McGregor's mistake, is that you can't knock a guy out who's heavier than you if you don't do it, like, pretty quickly. Because once Diaz ate a few punches and McGregor started to get tired, it was over.
And a huge difference with boxing, obviously, and this just, you can't, like, just hold on to the guy and survive to the next round, because then they choke you out. I will say, and I know it's in the heat of the moment, but Holly Holm came across in my mind like so much tougher and more badass by just dying in the ring than tapping out. And there is a video, by the way, of Conor McGregor saying he's never going to tap. I guess he tapped out before, and he's like, I'll never tap out again. And then he tapped out. Granted, when you're getting choked out. The only thing I'll say about UFC is you still need to have the people. It seems much easier to lose if you're better in UFC, because you get choked out or something. Someone puts you in a toe lock, and you can't, like, weather a storm maybe as easily because of what I just said. Like, you get rocked. It's a 5-minute round. There's no holding on, that type of thing. You still need, like, even though I'm enjoying these fights, every time I bought a UFC fight, it's been to see somebody. So it's been to see McGregor twice.
Like, for me, I would never tune in unless it was McGregor, who has this, like, hype machine behind him. I was actually just as happy to watch the upset. I wasn't like I was a McGregor fan, but I was tuning in for him. So if the next – I mean, I know he still has the belt, but if the next one doesn't have a guy quite like him, or, like, even in the women's case, I'm never going to care about the women ever again. Now that there's all different winners, I don't give a shit about that. So I think it still has to have the storyline building up to grab people like myself.
Absolutely. That was my point too, because Deadspin, those losers over there, basically wrote a blog saying, like, what, look at Conor McGregor get his, like, you know, his just deserve here. He's been talking so much shit. He's so cocky. That's how you sell fights.
He's doing his job.
The way the fight game works is you have to be selling a story, you know, have to be flamboyant and do all that stuff. Conor McGregor is the reason why most of America watched that fight on Saturday night, not because of Nate Diaz.
It's why 100%. And I don't have the answer to this. If they keep beating each other, though, this quickly, like KFC said, then it's sort of like you need the champ. You need that person. I don't think one loss, by the way, matters. I think getting 2-3, then it matters.
McGregor didn't lose anything there because it was obviously not a title. So he just goes back to having a title fight the next
time
out.
But don't you think, wouldn't you rather see him fight him again? I know it's the weight class, but like that's the fight now I want. I think McGregor can beat that guy. I'd like to see them fight again.
I do too. He just needs to like gradually go up, and also he probably needs to have a better strategy where he knocks him out quicker, because you can't fight a guy that much heavier than you for that long.
This Texas Tech proposal.
And now I have a question for my beautiful girlfriend right here. Will you marry me? It's lit. It's lit.
This is, I don't think they're getting married. Let me just start that. This reminds me of our boy Ibrahim on the Lions, who we interviewed, and we didn't realize at the time, but he did a draft day proposal where he proposed after he got drafted, and then we talked to him. He's like, yeah, no, we like broke up before the next morning. I think this is what's going to happen here. There's no way this girl can be happy with his proposal. You have people going bananas, like someone just told an awesome joke at the Apollo when he goes down on the knee. There's no woman in the world who can want this to be the proposal. I think it's the worst proposal I've ever seen. KFC?
It was so bad it became good. It was like, I mean, it was a dunk contest. Those guys were holding each other back. They were holding up like tens, like it was a dunk contest. One time, I just want a chick to have the balls to just be like, no, absolutely not, dude. And just crush that dude. Just absolutely ruin him. The proposal is 1,000,000,000% about the chick. So when you do it on senior night in your fucking uniform on the court and make it all about you, it's a 0 out of 10. Just once, I want to see the chick be like, absolutely not, you loser.
The one problem with that, Kevin, is if that ever happens, we're all going to be like, oh, it's Jimmy Kimmel and it's fake. So it's going to ruin it in itself. My biggest issue with this is that the fucking team stinks. They're like 19-11. They're not going to the tournament. If it was a special season, if they had just won the Big 12, I'd be like, okay, maybe. But fuck, like that's a mediocre team and a mediocre, you know, memory there that you just made.
Well, a mediocre memory for her. It's an incredible memory for the rest of us. That dude on the mic, like emceeing it, like it was and one. I mean, absolutely incredible.
Quick shout out to our boy Rico Bosco, who I unintentionally had his funniest tweet he's had, I think, since we've known him after Evansville lost.
What did he say?
He's like, tough loss for Evansville. Great group of kids. And I mean, it's just such a Rico Bosco like tweet. There's no commercial on this board, Hank, but I'm going to say commercial now. Can I play that? Oh, we don't need a commercial because we're doing YouTube today. Attaboy, Hank, staying on it. All right. Blackhawks kiss cam. I do not know what's happening here. I've watched it 10 times. I still don't know what this is about. Dan, you're the Chicago guy. Can you explain this?
I have no idea as well. I actually had a friend text me and say he knew the guy and he was freaking out because it was now going viral. Yeah, dude. I mean, you can't just like kiss another dude on kiss cam and not expect it to go viral. So the only thing I could say is it was a Red Wings fan and a Blackhawks fan. This is why you can't split up rivalries. When you split up rivalries, you know, and put them in different conferences, this kind of shit happens. This wouldn't have flown a few years ago.
So we're saying this is totally authentic.
I think they were like goofing around for the camera and then they realized like, whoa, we just kissed.
Yeah, well, he kisses his girl first and then he kisses the dude. I don't think it was authentic like they're dating or together or something.
No, but it was like something that wasn't planned till it happened.
I think maybe they planned it. Like it wasn't like a team planned thing. I think they might have planned it or I don't know. But it's definitely one of those things that they regret that they just kissed and went on the internet like kissing, thinking it was funny.
You'd have to know, though, to plan it. Like, it's not automatic. They looked like they were high up. It's just two normal-looking people. You know you're going to be on Kiss Cam. To be like, hey, when we get on Kiss Cam, guy behind me in the Red Wings, grab my chin and stick your tongue down my throat.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. It was bizarre. And then we had the also, I don't know if you saw, Eddie O was breaking down a kid, like, deep-throating an ice cream cone.
We want to see that. All right, now watch this area here. And it's just all, I mean, he's going to town. Look at the, no drip, no nothing.
Shit got weird. I said in the blog today, it's this moment in time with hockey, and it happens every kind of March, where you just need to get the playoffs. Like the playoffs need to start, need to ratchet it up. People are kind of losing their mind. Dudes kissing dudes. Kids, you know, sucking on ice cream while grown men talk about it. It's
dudes
kissing
dudes is whatever. It's 2016. It's the Wings Hawks element to it.
That's why I said the conference. You can't split up rivals because then people don't know how to act. Like those guys might not even if they just became fans. They're like, oh yeah, we're supposed to hate each other. We're kissing each other. Like no, you got to fucking hate that guy.
I can usually wrap my brain around almost everything. That video I can't because it doesn't make sense, but it seems like it had to be planned, but it looks so authentic. I just can't understand it.
And me blogging it, by the way, tip to all my boys in the comment section, letting them have a layup for that one. They thought they were the funniest guys in the world.
This Heat mascot does this stunt. So it's like a run, a flip, he jumps over. It's like when a car, like, who was that guy, Dave? Who was the guy who wore the white suit with the helmet? Dave? Crazy Dave Osborne? Super Dave. He goes over them, except the mascot is three people short, lands on their balls, but gets up and celebrates like he cleared it. Very funny video. Big Cat, what do you got?
I would love to see what happens in the locker room after, because I think outside of maybe like the jockey locker room at a racetrack, the mascot locker room is like an unknown territory. Like, how do they interact? How do they talk to each other? Because this is a big problem. Mascots don't like when they get like fucked with like this, or when they get injured. So I think that the Heat mascot's in a lot of trouble in the mascot community.
KFC?
He was not even close, man. That was like halfway. It was like Will Ferrell in Old School when he tries to jump through the hoop and just sets himself on fire. Like, you were not even close. But I will say this. I think usually mascots are kind of like corny and shit like that. But it's kind of like a testament to how it's just inherently funny that when they were like rolling around in pain but still had like their big smiles on their faces, that was hilarious watching those guys in agony. So I think in a way it kind of proves that mascots are actually pretty enjoyable.
And there's nothing else the Miami mascot could do. I mean, if you miss it, the show is still on. The people, right. You got to go up and celebrate. Also, the Heat, we might as well throw this video in there, the baby crawl contest where the Miami mother's tits were all over the place. Shout out to the Heat. Very, very Miami Heat. I mean,
that was like straight up porn.
Those tits were awesome.
That's the Heat. And this last one, which was viral, amazing picture. If we were like a serious news organization and you had Getty's like year in pictures, it could be this guy saving the bat going off this kid's face, which I think was his kid. It's one of those, the picture kind of tells the whole story. Do either of you have anything? I just thought we should throw it out there because it's that crazy of a picture. Do either of you guys have anything to say about it?
That guy's a kid, man. That dad, I mean, I'm telling Shay to duck if that's me. I'd be like, every man for himself. So flying bats coming my way, I'm jumping out.
It was also perfect 2016 because the kid was on his fucking phone. Yeah, right. Like sitting front row on his phone.
Granted, spring training. I mean, I
agree. Spring training, I get so exhausted from spring training.
Yeah. Spring training.
Clubs. Spring training is a fucking party for the Cubs.
That's why I stopped blogging about every story because I'm like, I'm so tired and I don't want to. Like, every other moment, they're doing something that's, I guess, blog-worthy, but I don't want to do it because I'm going to get tired before the season.
I mean, there are fans. My buddy works for ESPN, so he's been covering them. He said there are fans out there at, like, 4 in the morning lining up trying to get autographs from the Cubs during spring training.
It's insane. I'm trying to pace myself here. I got to, like, keep myself low.
I'm going to say something that people are not going to like.
Here we go.
I think baseball Fenway, like, for me, it's too crowded in the regular season. Like, when I go to summer baseball games, I'm not going to watch a team necessarily win or lose. I'm going to get some sun, drink some beers. I'd like to be able to stretch out. I'd rather go to like a Cape Cod League game than a Red Sox game in the summer. You start getting in September and the fall and playoffs, totally different. But baseball is slow, relaxing. You go to Fenway in the summer, you're mushed into a chair, and people are going like bananas in the second inning. Not my scene.
You want to go to like the beach and listen to the game on the radio.
Yeah,
or something.
You want to be out in the bleachers. You get a little. You get there early. You get yourself kind of like a seat and a half or two seats.
But can you do that anymore? And like the Cubs now will be like,
if you
jammed
get there
together.
Early enough, you can kind of stretch out a little bit. And like if you're at the end of a row, I have a certain place where I go where it's like Fat Guy City, where you can kind of just take over a little piece of it.
Like, I'd rather go to...
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, it's like, great. No, that is why I sit in the bleachers.
The Padres are a good example. They have, like, party atmospheres and plenty of space. That's more my speed for regular season. There's 162 of these games, boys. Like, we don't have to go bananas.
That's why I'm pacing myself on spring fucking training. Like, I can't... I need to, like... We need to cool down. It's spring training. It's still March. We'll get there eventually.
That's the rundown. Do we have anything else? We're going to do my podcast will be the review of Hollywood Week.
What happened to the rankings?
I'm sliding down like a fucking slip sliding cherry machine.
Dad?
That's Mike Portnoy's fault. Let's be honest.
Your dad was electric.
People like my dad.
I'm going to say it right now because I learned that this is the only way you can reach your dad. He's not available on the internet, but he does watch the rundown. So, Papa Portnoy, you were electric.
He's getting a little bit big in the head now.
Oh, no way. A Portnoy?
Like, seriously?
Get out of here. Getting his head big?
He sent me a picture of, like, Milano's at the house and thought it was the funniest thing ever. It's just like a ripped open bag of Milanos.
You were talking to yourself in 20 years was maybe the best part.
The fact that you can't see like the parallels, like you would send out a tweet of the Milanos and be like, oh, this is so funny. I just joked about Milanos on the podcast.
Start for greatness, Milanos. Like that, you would do that.
Yes.
You and your dad are the same person.
Popcorn. All the time with popcorn. That's all you do. You'll tweet yourself like eating popcorn saying strive for greatness, and it's like so funny.
I liked my favorite parts. One was when he said you guys would be good friends, and you're like, you don't have any friends. He's like, I got like two friends. Like, don't you only have two friends, Dave? And one of them's Hank.
No, I have more than that.
Okay. The paranoid part where it's like
that was awesome.
And then the best part was when he was like, I'm gonna compliment myself, and you said that's a Portnoy movie. He's like, fine, I'm not going to say it. It was like, that was you just talking in the mirror.
All right, so we ended the rundown, and we're getting ready to tape a version of the Dave Portnoy Show right now, number 33 podcast in the country. Not great. And we're going to talk about L.A. week, but I've been banging my head against the wall because on the rundown, we didn't talk about LeBron. And LeBron is on a streak right now of doing things. Just when you think LeBron can't be more hateable, more infuriating, more despicable, more disgusting, he starts doing that video he put out of himself in the weight room after a back-to-back. Ah! Just straight.
I'm grinding.
Ah! How many of you know working out all day after a back-to-back? I died for this, dog. I live for it.
I'd maybe shoot him if I could.
Fuck out of here.
No, really. Like, if I thought I could get away with it, it's like you can just shoot him and take him out. Nobody will ever know. I think I would. That's how much I hate this guy. And I had to restart the broadcast just to say, he's got a beautiful mind. Shut up. Just shut up. And I know people will be like, if he just embraced the villain, I don't even know they'd be a good villain. Like, he stinks at everything. There's not one part of him that is enjoyable for anybody. He's maybe the worst human. Him and Goodell, right up there. Big Cat, what do you got?
First of all, the beautiful mind thing, while hilarious, the fact that you don't see the parallels between you and LeBron is becoming – it's actually very LeBron.
Dave, this is now everybody using, I don't like. Everybody using, like, I make it, fun of now is me. What this is this
no,
is
the
what, Trump
thing,
is me. My dad is me. LeBron
phrase,
is me.
The phrase is exactly the same. Beautiful mind, big brain. It's like it's right in front of your face.
And you always tell us how hard you work, and you always say, oh, I'm out here grinding, scratching, clawing. I know it's part of a shtick, but in the same time, it's not a shtick. So the only thing I'll say is the only difference between you and LeBron is you have a little bit of self-awareness where like a tiny piece of it's a shtick. Not much. I said a little bit. A little bit of self-awareness. Otherwise, you guys are the same person. He's got two rings. You have zero.
With the exception, I never turned my back on anybody and bolted my hometown and fucking I walked into that one. I can't see fucking.
Oh,
I mean, we don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
I knew when I said that. That didn't come out. But I'm not going for a bigger, fancier contract, not because I can't win titles here. I've already won a million titles.
Excuse me.
You're absolutely going for it.
Some of us saw that Nantucket house, Dave.
Oh, man, by the way. I'll tell you what, that house leaking was the worst thing for company morale ever. Holy shit.
Kevin, he's going to invite us there for like 4 days in the summer.
Oh, man.
Listen, not to toot my own horn, but we're doing a lot of work on that house. that house, the kitchen.
It's a fixer-upper.
We're redoing the entire downstairs. Some people chirping like that's poor. Trust me, we're doing some work on that house. What do you want me to say? But let me clarify another thing about that house. First of all, I don't know why that became a story. I don't know why. I told you in.
It's for clicks. They're using us. I mean, we know why. They know that if they put David Portnoy in a title, everyone who's a Barstool fan will click. It's smart.
And I, you know, beggars can't be choosers, but I bought that house, just to clarify, before the Chernin deal. People don't get that. I was rich before the Chernin deal. The Chernin deal didn't really make me richer. I'm trying to make you guys richer. That's why company morale should never be at a higher level.
Let's do it faster, because when I see
I still only own one house. I'm getting rid of the one in Boston. Yeah, right now I own two multi-million-dollar houses. That's changing. As of the end of April, I'll own one. I don't know how this became about me and my brilliant houses as opposed to fucking LeBron. This back on to kill LeBron, and somehow it got turned on my head. We're going to the Dave Portnoy show.
I was
going to
say, this already is
fight.
The Dave Portnoy show.
My podcast is not supposed to be a fist fight.
I'll say this. I'm just going to say this. LeBron clearly is doing this because everyone's moved on to Steph Curry. And
agreed.
Doomsday scenario where, like, no one can like LeBron anymore. I'm not ruling out that he's going to leave Cleveland again.
That would be the best thing ever.
Awesome. I would fucking throw a party if that happened.
Dude, I'm not ruling it out. I think LeBron, if it gets a couple years and
by the way, I'm not ruling it out either. So yeah, when you go back and say I told you so, I don't rule it out.
Yeah, he would. I think he would go somewhere else, which would be unbelievable.
Were there any gossip emails about that house that I should know about between the G-Chat gang?
No, actually, most of it was I can't even look at the house because it'll make me want to puke. And because I looked at it and puked. So then I told the other guys.
Kevin texted me, he's like, yo, did you see this house? And I was like, I honestly can't even look at it.
I thought it was like a joke. I was like, this can't be right.
All right, that's the run. I'm glad we brought that
up. You just made us do that to make yourself feel good.
I didn't bring up. Yeah, all right, that's classic. That's classic Big Cat, classic MC. I didn't bring it up. You guys brought it up, but I did it to make myself feel good. All right, that's the run. That's the run. We're going right now. I'm going to have to clear my brain. I'm going to have to. What's that Costner movie? What's that Costner movie? A Perfect Game.
This is Primal Fear. You're Edward Norton. You got to slip in and out right now. You just went from El Prez. You got to go to Dave.
What is that movie, the Costner, when he clears the membrane when he's pitching his perfect game? For the love of the game. I got to clear my whole thing now and go to the Dave Portnoy show, not hating you two after this attack mode thing that just happened. That was supposed to be about LeBron. Okay.